depending on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God.
Awesome. How can you not feel uplifted after that? Thank you, choir. Good morning again. The scripture for today, and I have to tell you, I am so grateful to be here today to read this scripture. Correct? The scripture for today is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and it can be found on page 909 in your pew Bible. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." May God's blessing be upon you and upon this His holy word.
I know. Pastor Starr preached on this same passage last Sunday. I'm not geezing out. I'm not trying to correct anything she said or to compete with her by preaching a better sermon than she did. It's just that this passage is the last words that Jesus said to his disciples, according to Matthew. And if this is the last thing that Jesus said, we better pay close attention to them, and it's worth a sermon or two or more. We call this passage the Great Commission, and we're going to talk about it shortly. But first, permit me to share a personal story. It's about my grandmother. My grandmother was one of the most important people in my life. She died in 1984. Yet, in many ways, she's still with me. My grandmother lived just a few miles from where I grew up, and so I saw her several times just about every week. We would celebrate birthdays and Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving together at her house. As a child, almost every Saturday, I spent the night with my grandmother at her home. And I remember on Saturday night, we always watched the Lawrence Welk Show on television. Now, that dates me and it dates you if you remember the Lawrence Welk Show. I must admit, I did not like the Lawrence Welk Show all that much. But I did like spending time with my grandmother. My grandmother and I had a special bond, perhaps because I was named after her husband. My grandfather, Bruce Schulke, died when I was only 7 years old, and so my memories of him are not nearly as strong as my memories of my grandmother. But because I was named after him, I always felt that I was my grandmother's favorite among the grandchildren. Now, I'm sure my sister and my brother thought they were the favorite, because she had a special place in her heart for all of us. That's the kind of person she was. Oh, the memory of my grandmother I want to tell you about today dates back to 1976. I had just graduated from seminary and was home for Christmas. Now, the reason I graduated in December instead of May was I had to miss a semester due to illness. Well, the big news that Christmas was not just that I had graduated from seminary, but that I had met someone. That someone was a young widow from Louisville, Kentucky, with a four-year-old daughter. And that someone and her daughter were coming to Texas after Christmas to meet my family. And it was really gutsy of that someone to do that, because she was coming to pass inspection. Well, that someone and I were not yet engaged to be married. For some reason, she decided I needed a job before she would marry me. And you know, in the Baptist system, you're not guaranteed a job just because you're a seminary graduate. You have to wait for a church to call you, and a church had not yet called me so soon after graduation. So we were not yet engaged, but everyone knew it was pretty serious for that someone and her daughter to come to Texas. Well, they were a big hit with my family. Everyone loved them. I was not surprised by that. But then my grandmother did something that really did surprise me. We were at her house having lunch. All the family was there. Everybody was in the living room. My grandmother motioned for me to come away, and we went back to her bedroom on the back side of the house. And then she pulled out a little box, and I didn't know what it was. Now, my grandmother would occasionally give me like $5 to get my hair cut, you know, stuff like that. She pulled out the box, and then she opened it up, and there was a ring, a diamond ring. She put it in my hand. She said this was her engagement ring that my grandfather had given her so many years ago, and she wanted me to have it. Well, she knew that I was serious about that someone, and she wanted me to give her the ring when and if she agreed to marry me. I was blown away by that. Not only was my grandmother giving me her ring, she was giving me her approval for my choice of a wife. Well, as you probably guessed, I did get a job, and that someone did agree to marry me. I was called to the Montgomery Hills Baptist Church in Silver Spring, began in April of 1977, and Linda and I set our wedding date for July 2nd, 1977. We were to be married in a little chapel just outside Louisville in Crestwood, Kentucky. We had my grandmother's wedding ring sized and refurbished, and Linda still wears that ring to this day. So the ring is a sign of our love, but it's also a sign of my grandmother's love. I don't know what the ring would have praised for, but to us, it's priceless. Well, as Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples, he gave them some words that were priceless. We call these words the Great Commission, but they're really more than a commission. The words contain not only what Jesus wanted his disciples to do for them, but also what Jesus promised to do for them. First, we have what Jesus asked them and asked us to do for him. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That is the great commission that Jesus gave to them and that he gives to us. We are to make disciples of all nations, in other words, of all people. Jesus came for everybody, not just for the Jews, not just for people living in Galilee or Palestine. Jesus came for everybody. He wants everybody to follow him. And we're to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, we become his disciples not by baptism, but we become his disciples by our faith in Jesus. We're saved by our faith. We become disciples by following him. But baptism is a sign of that faith, and baptism is a logical consequence of our following. Jesus set the example himself. Remember how he was baptized by John the Baptist. He was baptized not for the forgiveness of his sins. He had not sinned. But he set an example for us to be baptized. And after he died on the cross and was raised from the grave, baptism became a symbol for his followers of dying to self and being raised to new life in Christ. That's why baptism by immersion is such a powerful symbol. It pictures identifying with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we practice believers' baptism by immersion today. It's a powerful symbol of becoming a disciple of Jesus. Now, the first followers, the ones who heard Jesus say these last words, took them seriously. They took the Great Commission seriously because they did exactly what Jesus said. They went to all nations, to all people, and made disciples. The day of Pentecost was the beginning of it. 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, they were all together in one place on Pentecost, that festival of the Jews. People from all over the world had come to celebrate the festival there in Jerusalem. And after being filled with the Holy Spirit, the disciples began to speak in languages, and people heard what they were saying, and they became fascinated by the story about Jesus. And Peter stood up, and he gave a powerful sermon. And at the end of his sermon, people were cut to the heart, and they said, what should we do? What should we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And that's what they did. That day, some 3,000 people believed and repented and were baptized and joined the church. And so what happened on the day of Pentecost was like the Great Commission in action. And from that day to the present day, Christians have been sharing the good news with everybody, inviting believers to be baptized on the basis of their faith in Jesus. And so the first part of this passage is what Jesus asked us to do for him. He asked us to make disciples of all nations, to baptize believers in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the second part of the passage is what Jesus promises to do for us. He said, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And this is what Jesus promises for us. He promises to be with us. When Linda and I got married some 39 years ago, we made promises to each other. And one of the promises that we made was to be there for each other. You know, the marriage vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death shall part us. That's saying we're going to be there for each other no matter what. And that's what Jesus promised. He said, I will be there for you no matter what. No matter what life may bring, I am with you always, he said. Baptism is a symbol of that promise. It symbolizes dying to the old self-centered life and rising to a new life in Christ. But you know, if being a Christian were just a matter of our own effort and willpower, none of us could do it. None of us would be up to it. It's too hard, too challenging. Following Jesus day by day, we couldn't do that in our own strength. But the thing is, we don't have to. That's what Jesus promised. He promised to be with us. He promised to be there for us. He empowers us with His Holy Spirit. And that's how we can faithfully follow Jesus day by day, because He's with us. Well, Linda and I got married at that Duncan Memorial Chapel in Crestwood, Kentucky on July 2nd, 1977. My grandmother was there. She was 82 years old at the time. It was probably the last long trip that she took, but she was there. And in a way, she's still with us in our memories and our hearts. Well, Jesus is with us in our memories, in our hearts, but even in a deeper way. Jesus is with us in the everyday moments of our lives. He's with us when we're here in church. He said, "Where even two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So we come to church because He's here. Two or three are gathered, He's here. Jesus is with us right now in this time and place. He's with us when we minister to others in His name. Remember how He said, "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." Whenever we serve others in Christ's name, we can be sure that He's there. And He's also with us in the tough times of life. You know, I wish I could say that being a Christian means your life will always be easy, no problems, everything will just be happy and up and up, but it's not like that. In some ways, being a Christian is even harder. The challenges are even greater, and the tough times come. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." When those tough times come, He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Jesus is with us in all times and all places because He said, "Remember, I am with you always." So, we're never alone. That's Jesus' promise. No matter what, He's with us. And He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." What more do we need? Our Father, we thank You that You are always with us. We thank You that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. We thank You that even to the end of the age, He will always be with us. Help us to place our faith in Him, O God, to know that we are never alone, and to know that no matter what life may bring, He will be there for us. Give us the power of the resurrected Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Give us that remembrance that we are never alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One way that we fulfill the Great Commission is that we give you an opportunity to respond every Sunday. If you notice, every Sunday after the sermon, there's an invitation to accept Christ as your Savior, to follow Him as a believer in baptism, to unite with our church, and we offer you that opportunity today. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. Follow Him as a believer in baptism. Or maybe you've made the commitment, but you're not a part of our church. We would welcome your decision to unite with us. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 210, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."